Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, This is Our Time of Deliverance, from the Chronicles of Exodus.
And Exodus 3, verse 10 through 14. Exodus 4, verse 1 through 17. I know Andre is critiquing me now. He had about six scriptures like this, and I told him, don't ever do that. And now I'm doing it. Exodus chapter number 7, verse 1 through 10, and then Numbers chapter number 12, and then I'll conclude somewhere over in Deuteronomy. I want to have just a quick conversation about this man called Moses. All right. Exodus chapter number 2, verse number 1 through 10. Let's do that, and then I'll dig in. All right. Give me about 15 minutes. All right. And I'll be done. Let's read.
And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maiden to get it. And when she opened it, she saw a child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water.
And the daughter of Pharaoh came to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw a child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. How in the world did that happen? He became her son. I thought he was already her son. Got to read the text. And she called his name Moses and said, because I drew him out of water. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in the heart of the minister for these next 15, 20, 35 minutes. God, give me articulation. Let me say what you are saying. Let me declare what you're saying. And God, and when we bring in the, oh God, other texts that will be support and would, oh God, undergird what we're saying here, bring understanding, God. You said your word is sown, and the growth of that word has everything to do with the type of soil that the word falls on, God. Let this, oh God, these be, oh God, good soils that I'm sowing on today, that they bring some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. God, let it be increased so much so that spiritually they're formed, and then they can, oh God, be disciples as your word told us to be. We thank you. We speak, and we, oh God, call principalities and powers to stand down now as the word of God go forth. And now, Lord, oh God, let, oh God, our words and our meditation be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and you are our redeemer. This is our prayer today, God, and now let us have a conversation about this man they call Moses. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said amen and amen. This is the third lesson that I'm now teaching about. It is our time of deliverance. Somebody just go ahead and put it in the atmosphere and say it real loud. It is our time of deliverance. All right. And if you really say it right, put a hallelujah on the end of it. Hallelujah. All right. This is our time of, amen, deliverance. All right. In lesson two, I said, if it's our time of deliverance, then there are some things that we got to understand. And I'm going to rehearse them real quickly. And then I'm going to give you five, amen, talking points that I want to have a conversation around. All right. If it is our time of deliverance, then that means that there's now going to come an emergence of, amen, a new people. All right. God is about to, amen, birth, amen, within these people, but also into the body of Christ, a new people, amen. I believe this is going to be the generation that serve him, amen, with all of their heart, like Sister Olubunmi served him, all right? So number one, if it's our time of deliverance, then there's going to be, amen, emergence of a new people. That means every day I should be declaring, Lord, make me anew, all right? Make me afresh. If you're going to do anything in this season, God, don't do it without me. Right. So number one, there's going to be an emergency of a new people. Number two, the new people are not going to be like the old people. They're going to be complete and they're going to be whole. I wish I had time. All right. This new people that are emerging, because if we look back historically, too often, even when God brought us out, we brought too much baggage with us. All right. Somebody say real loud, I ain't carrying no baggage with me on this trip. All right. All right, I'm not carrying no baggage. I'm not carrying no old curses. I'm not carrying no old stuff that could hinder where I'm going. I am coming out, and everything is going to be made new, all right? So these new people that are coming out, they are unlike the old people. They completely whole, all right? One of the things that I prayed for you in this season, that you will not have any feebleness attached to you. Amen. That means you're going to get your money together. That means you're going to get your health together. Somebody say that real loud. I'm going to get my health together. Okay, ministers, y'all can be released, all right? Amen. The minister of music done released himself, so y'all can be released, all right? In this season, everything of mine is coming together. Amen. Somebody say, in this season, everything of mine is coming together. Right. Everything of mine is coming together. All right. I'm going to be completely whole. I'm going to even have my mind together in this season. Ah, God. Somebody say real loud, I'm going to have my mind together in this season. I hear your Holy Ghost. And I'm going to now learn how not to let a lot of stuff get on my nerves. God. God, that's the loudest you said amen that I've been preaching for the last 6 years. All right, you saying it a little louder, all right? I might be preaching a little better. All right, I'm getting my mind together in this season, and I'm determining this time ain't letting that get on my nerve. Come on, somebody say, ain't gonna let that get on my nerve. I'm trying to help some of y'all to go work and be better workers next week. I'm trying to help some of y'all go back home and be better family members, because I found out every now and then that which the enemy's doing is testing to see, have you grown? Have you matured? Have you stepped up to another level? Or do the same old things take you to the same old places? Somebody do a shimmy like Elder LaTanya do and say, I've been made new. I've been made new. God, y'all ain't do it right. Y'all stop. Don't do it if you ain't going to do it right. All right. In this season, amen, there's a new people emerging and they're going to be completely whole. Somebody throw your hands up, holler real loud. I am being made completely whole. Good God Almighty. There's a people coming out and they're going to be completely whole. Because it is our time of deliverance. Number three, the eyes of all witnessing this new thing done by the Lord alone. Amen. There will be eyes of all witnessing. This thing ain't going to be done in a corner. Right? What God does with you next, your whole family going to be wondering what happened to you. Amen. This thing ain't going to be done in a home, in a corner. Amen. Everybody going to witness. At your job, they're going to be asking you, have you got a new lease on life? And you're going to say, no, amen, I'm just a new people that are emerging, because it is our time of deliverance. Number four, the new people emergency will begin to taste the fruit and the produce from the land of promise. These people that are emerging, this new people, they're going to taste the fruit and the produce from the land of promise. Y'all can tell I could preach all of these, all right, but I'm not going to do that. Amen. Over in Joshua, somewhere around 4, chapter 5, chapter number 6, they had not got into the promised land, but God gave them a preview of a coming attraction, right? Every now and then, God uses a temporary thing to show us what's about to come. We are now being allowed to taste what's going to be the fruit of our next season. We're now being allowed to taste, to produce. And we're going to find out that these grapes are the size of pomegranates. So we're going to find out that truly the land that we go in is not like the land that we come out of. And the land that we're going into, it flows with milk and honey. I need to tell somebody to lift up your heads and encourage your own self, because where you going ain't going to be nothing like where you come from. Come on, somebody tell where you're leaving. Goodbye. Amen. You're leaving, amen, places, amen, where you've been. And now you're going to eat the fruit and the produce of the land of promise. And then number five, and then I'll get into where I want to go today. Number five, divine supernatural occurrences will manifest frequently. Divine supernatural occurrences will manifest frequently to keep us moving forward and advancing the kingdom of heaven. I've been preaching this, probably the history of this ministry, that prophetic people should walk in the supernatural naturally. All right, the prophetic people of the Bible and in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they didn't have to conjure up nothing. They just walked in it naturally. And there is a new breed, and there is a new group, and there is a new people being formed that we're going to frequently run into the supernatural. We're going to go up into the hospital and lay hands on somebody and run into the supernatural. We're going to pray over our children like Sister Kimberly Sturkey just did. And the next week for our children is going to be so incredible because we ran into the supernatural. Stop being so surprised that there goes the supernatural. It's what I expect. Somebody high five somebody and say, it's what I expect. I expect God to be on my job when I go up there on Tuesday. I expect God to cause peace that calls surpassing peace in my home by Wednesday. I expect God to be in the grocery store when I get there on Saturday. And I'm not going to be surprised because of the manifestation of the supernatural. Because this is my time of deliverance. Somebody go ahead and say it. This is my time of deliverance. All right? So don't be surprised that when you get there, God is already there. Did he not say in the Psalms, if you take the wings of the morning and you fly to the utmost place, I am there? Did he not say, if you make your bed in the pits of hell, that I am there also? Well, we now got to get it and stop being so surprised and stop being so shocked that I got there and then I sensed God was there too. That I got there and then I sensed that God was there too. Because this is our time of deliverance. Whenever God has delivered his people historically, and if you go to the book of Judges, you will see this over and over and over. Whenever God delivers his people historically, there was always a deliverer. Always. Somebody said me, always. Whether it was Samson, whether it was a prophetess, amen, a prophet, God always had somebody that he put his hand on. And through him putting his hand on that person, he was going to bring everybody out. Oh, God, I'm going to say that again. And y'all don't make me too long delivering this. I'm going to say that again. Whenever God determined that he was going to bring his people out, he always started by putting his hand on somebody. Ah, oh, God, Malachi, take that off of your neck and then come stand there for a minute, amen, so I can use you, all right? Amen. Son, come right here. Just stand right here, son, all right? Don't frown up me like that, all right? You won't eat next week, all right, if you keep frowning me like that, and you'll be on, amen, some pulp like the people in the book of Daniel. All right. Whenever God takes a people to there, the first thing that he always does, he finds Malachi and he places his hand on him and he becomes the instrument to bring them out. Yes, yes. And body of Christ, you need to get this, because the final point, I'm going to make it a little bit more important. And this is where enlightenment has kind of hurt us. Because enlightenment and enlightening and lifting reason and doing a whole lot of all stuff, we have placed all of us on the same level. And the truth of the matter is,
We ain't all on the same level. Come on, somebody say it real loud. We ain't all on the same level. If you don't, and stay right there just for a minute. If you think we're on the same level, let one or two people pull out their credit card, and then you pull out your credit card, and we'll find out if we're on the same level. If you think we're on the same level, and I'm going to preach this thing anyhow. If you think we're on the same level, let a demon manifest up in here, and let everybody take turns casting out that devil, and we'll find out that Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you? But what enlightenment has done, it has brought us all to the same level, and we treating people like Lottie Dottie and everybody, and we think everybody the same, and we missing who God put his hand on to bring us out. Never treat something common that God called uncommon. Oh God. Never treat something common because you're going to miss your coming out. God. So whenever God wants to bring his people, and I told y'all I wasn't going to do it long. All right, whenever God's going to take his people out, you can study the Bible historically. It will prove it over and over and over. When God wants to bring his people out, he puts his hand on a Malachi. And it matters not how Malachi is acting right now. God, I hear that preaching in here. It matters not Malachi's intelligence level. It matters not where he graduated from, where he intends to graduate. It doesn't even matter what Malachi feels about God's hand on him. God said, I got to bring my people out, and I have chosen this vessel. And he chose in the book of Exodus a man called Moses. Let's have a conversation. Moses. Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor one more time. Say, let's have a conversation about Moses. You did well. Now go sit down. Sit your little happy self down. Naomi told me this week, your son Malachi is a trip. Naomi, you so right. You so prophetic, honey. I could have gave you an offering three times over. Other kind of trip. Let's have a conversation about this man called Moses. In Exodus 2, verse 1 through 10, and hold on, when I get to 2, you can come on doxology to me because I'm almost done. Number one, all of us have sin within and iniquity without in which we were born into that must be overcome. All of us, number one, let's get through here. All of us have sin within and iniquity without which we born into. That we gotta overcome. Hear me, African Americans. Your story might be a little bit different, but everybody else had another struggle. Okay, y'all hear me? All human beings, because of Adam. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me? Because of Adam, were born into sin. And shaping into iniquity. And whenever you're born into sin, shaping into iniquity, you got to find a way to overcome. All of us. All of us. Whether we didn't have money or whether we had money. Whether it was the south side, east side, west side. All of us were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, and that had to be overcome. I wish I had a little bit more time. That's why we all ought to say, thank God for amazing grace. God. Thank God for amazing grace. I was sinking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Psalms 51 tells us that all of us are born in sin and shaping in iniquity. All of us, number one, had something to overcome. That's why we should be thankful for amazing grace. Every Moses, every one of us is a candidate to be Moses. Don't mean we are Moses. It means that anything is possible. All right? But whoever we are or are not, there's some sin and iniquity that you got to overcome. Somebody tell your neighbor, say, but some sin and iniquity that you got to overcome. And we cannot do it on our own. Apostle Paul tried in Corinthians. And then he finally had to say, his grace is sufficient. Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, with your sin and and your iniquity, his grace is sufficient. Number two, if I had time, I would have read Exodus chapter number 3, verse 1 through 5. When we're having a conversation about Moses, we see the next talking point is God is always watching our response to his last manifestation and visitation. Now that we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, grace must now cause us to overcome. The next thing we got to understand is now that grace is available, he's watching to see what we do with it. He's now letting us live. He's manifesting. He's visiting. And he's standing back watching. I came to him in his dream. I touched him when he was at Bible study. I caused him to go into a period of fasting and he felt my presence. Now, how did he or she respond? God is always watching to see how do we respond to his last touch. Be wise, because some get a touch but nothing changes. Some feel the very presence of God but go right back to what they left. God's trying to touch us in a way that it captures all of our attention. Good God Almighty. Come on, Mother Media, move with me fast today, all right? Number two, God's trying to catch our attention by that last touch, that last visitation, and now we're captured by what touched us and changed us. I'm going to say this again, especially in Pentecostal circles. We get so familiar with the touch of God that it becomes common and familiar. And we get touched, but then we go right back to the same thing. How is it that we can be touched by such a powerful God and it not capture all of our attention? Please hear me, and especially everybody under 25. God's trying to capture your attention. God's trying to capture your attention. Where did I get this from? The Bible said that Moses saw a bush that was burning, and the burning of the bush caused him to turn aside to see, how is this bush burning and it is not consumed? Go read the next text. And God said, because he turned aside. We're trying to figure out the complexity of what God wants us to do, and he's trying to get us to do the simple thing of just let me get your attention. I touched today, just come back tomorrow. Don't write a 3-5 year plan, just come back tomorrow. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. God's trying to touch us, and because he touched us like that, we show up again tomorrow. The Bible says that Moses turned aside and he wanted to see, what will it take for God to do to capture our attention? You said if he just paid off all them bills, God, you'd have my attention like any other noise this time. God, if you gave me this job, God, I'm going to give y'all. None of y'all, we better stop them promises, because the Bible told us about making promises and then not keeping them. God is a master that if you promise him something, he'll do it just to see what you're going to do. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He's trying to capture your attention. Come on, tell your neighbors, he's trying to capture your attention. Moses saw the bush and he became totally focused. Moses saw the bush, and now only thing he wanted to do is look at the bush. There is a place, y'all better please hear me, there is a place that God captures in a way that we ain't distracted by anything else. Okay, y'all didn't say nothing. I'm going to keep preaching. There is a place of God touching, God manifesting, and it is so powerful that nothing else can distract us. Somebody say with me real loud, God, you got my attention. God, you got my attention. Second thing about Moses is he became distinctively focused. Number three, I would have read Exodus chapter number 4, verse 1 through 17. And when you read Exodus 4 through 17, we find out that God loves humanity when humanity recognize our humanness in comparison to his divinity. And this is a very important point, because Moses, and we talk about Moses when he talks about his stuttering, when he talks about his inability to speak, and when he talks about his unworthiness, there is one thing that we forget to talk about, that he is looking at a holy God. When you start looking at a holy God, you're going to find out how unholy you really are. See, it's easy to stand on the sideline and 6,000 plus years later to say, how in the world could Moses be talking about he's stuttering? Well, Moses is standing right in front of the I am that I am. Moses is standing among the good shepherd. Moses is standing in the provider. And when you see God like that, Isaiah says, woe is me. But this is what God loves. He loves when humanity recognizes our humanness in comparison to his divinity. Oh, God. He loves when we finally realize self-made won't work for us. Preach, Lawrence. He loves when we recognize that this thing is so big, I can't dare do it by myself. And I'm talking about raising my children. I'm talking about being a good husband. I'm talking about being a good pastor. I'm talking about being a good member of the church. I can't do this on my own. I have a human nature. Sidebar, it's problematic with some of us because we ain't recognized our humanness yet. God loves when humanity sees his humanness, and this is what Moses does in chapter 4. He takes a good look at his humanness and he begins to declare, woe is me. This is the important thing about recognizing our humanness. He expects us to move to his good work, Christ being formed in us with lasting spiritual formation. Whenever, Jordan, you finally see your humanness, the next thing God wants you to capture is his willingness for Christ to be formed in you. God, are y'all still here? It's nothing wrong with finally realizing I'm not enough, I can't do this on my own, but he don't want us to stay there. Come on, say, tell your neighbor, don't stay there. The next thing he wants us to do is to step over into his good work. What is his good work? Christ being formed in us, the hope of glory. That's called spiritual formation. He wants us to throw up our hand and say, I ain't got enough. I can't do this. I don't know how this is going to work out. Y'all better please hear me. Hear me. You haven't arrived until you throw up your hand and say, this is overwhelming. God, this is too much. God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Who, me, Lord? Y'all ain't saying nothing. He loves that because he knows you finally got it. He knows you finally understand, oh wretched man that I am, and how in need I am of thee. He just doesn't want you to stop at your recognizing your humanness. Come on, tell your neighbor, step over into the good work. The good work is Christ being formed in us.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full link copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.